Almighty God, we are so thankful tonight that you have allowed us to be here once more. Thank the Lord for our theme this month of sounding the trumpet. We're thankful for the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, the measure by which you call us to salvation today. We pray, Lord, tonight that Brother Gregory break unto us the bread of life, and in doing so, he will use your word, the Holy Bible, to everyone listening tonight to understand their present predicament, whether they be lost, whether they need to be revived, encouraged, edified, or restored. Pray, Lord, that he stand bold upon what your scriptures say. Pray, Lord, that those listening tonight humble their hearts and listen attentively to the words of life. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flanagan. We're very thankful tonight to have each and every person on, and Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you are very honored and distinguished guest of our audience, and we pitch this call with you in mind. We want you to know that in the Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. We also believe that one's going to die. This book teaches us that if you die in your sins, Jesus said, where I am, you cannot come. That means you can't go to heaven. So we put this call on because we believe that we teach the truth, the absolute truth, and nothing but the truth, because we believe that the Bible have absolute authority. With that in mind, this month we are bringing on elders and preachers from different congregations across the nation. And last night we heard from Brother Nathan Frantz, and the preacher of the Mariposa Church of Christ there in Citrus Heights, California. And tonight we hear from one of his elders, Brother Charles Gregory. Brother Charles Gregory serves as an elder there at Mariposa. He was baptized in 2000, and now he's serving as an elder in the Lord's church. What a blessing it is to have me and God on the call when you preach and teach his word tonight. Brother Gregory will sound the trumpet. That's our theme. Comes from Isaiah 51. His preacher last night sounded the trumpet about in the same verse, 2 Corinthians 4:3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. When the God of the word have blinded the mind, that's the light of the glorious God. So Brother Nathan dealt with the gospel being hid, and tonight Brother Gregory will sound his trumpet about them that are lost. All right, Brother Gregory, it's your time to sound the trumpet. Let's hear it.
Thank you so much. So I'm Charles Gregory out here in Citrus Heights, California. Now, one thing I want to say here, as we get into this, I'm going to be covering a lot of scriptures tonight, so I would ask you if this is new to you that you have a pen and paper handy, because I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to be like the folks that Paul preached to in Berea. You can find that in Acts chapter 17, and he compared them to the folks, the people at Thessalonica, and he said that the Bereans were more noble minded, and the reason he said that is because they went to God's word and they checked to verify the things that Paul was teaching them, the Apostle Paul was teaching them from the Old Testament, were correct. And so I would ask that if this is new to you, if I say something you haven't heard before, that you go check it out. So Brother Tommy started with 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. I'll read that again. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. So, as Brother Tommy said, my assignment was, who is perishing? Or in the King James Version, who is lost? Let's look at that. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus is the only way to the Father. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Jesus is the only place salvation is found. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. In order to be saved, in order to not be lost, we must be in Jesus. So the next logical question is what must I do to be in Jesus? How do we get in Jesus? What does the Bible say? Do we need to do anything in order to be saved? I'm going to read from Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. Faith and belief are closely related. We can't believe in what we haven't heard. In order to be saved, we must hear or must be taught the truth. So this doesn't exclude the deaf from salvation, but we have to get it somehow. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. We have to know the truth and continue in it. The truth frees us from sin by educating us and shaping our belief. There is no accidental falling into salvation. We don't inherit salvation from our parents. We must learn by the words of Christ in order to develop our faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. I think most of us know that one. How about this one? Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Hebrews 11:6. We must believe. However, if our belief is based on human ideas instead of being taught and shaped by God's word, what we believe and how we practice our faith can begin to look radically different than what God's word says. We find ourselves having the wrong understanding. We believe in something other than the God revealed in the Holy Scripture, in his word. The Bible talks about confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Confession to God is required. Bear with me. I'm going to give you a couple things, and we're going to bring it all together here. Therefore, everyone who confesses men before me, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. So we see confession of sins to God's required, and we see public confession of Christ before men is required if we want Jesus to recognize us before God in heaven. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 24, verse 46 to start. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Luke chapter 24, 46 through 48. We must repent, the Bible tells us. We have to change our ways. We have to try and make our ways become God's ways. We have to look more and more like his Son in order to have our sins forgiven. We have to replace our sinful behavior with Christ-like behavior when we turn to God. There's another thing the Bible says we have to do. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. So what have we just looked at? I gave you a bunch of scripture there. What did we just look at? We see the scripture says multiple things. We saw that it said we need to hear the word. We saw that it said we need to know the truth, the word. We need to believe it. We need to repent, change our way. We need to confess Jesus and confess our sin. And we need to be baptized. So the question becomes, can we pick which on this list we want to believe in? Or which on this list we want to practice? Which on this list we want to do? And then be in Jesus. Then be added to the church. Then be forgiven of sin. Has God given us 6 different ways to find ourselves in Jesus? Has he given us 6 different ways to be saved? Or do we need to consider the totality of God's scripture? Do we need to do it all? Is it possibly all part of the same process? In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, it says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Mark 16, 15 and 16. The New Testament is a compilation of accounts of the life of Christ, his ministry, and the early church. It's also a compilation of letters that were written from baptized believers to baptized believers, encouraging them from the beginning. And this is, I'm going to show you this in scripture. You don't have to take my word for it. But from the beginning, water baptism has been a part of the conversion process. It is a part of the appropriate response to the gospel. Those that believe, we see in scripture, they don't delay. They obey. The biblical writers used what is called a synecdoche. It's actually a term we get from the Greek. They would talk about a part standing for the whole. We do the same thing in English. If I said Cleveland won the game by 6 runs, well, the city of Cleveland didn't win the game by 6 runs. The baseball team of Cleveland, or the Cleveland baseball team, won the game by 6 runs. But everybody in Cleveland knows what you're talking about if you just say Cleveland. They are talking about a part to stand for the whole, and in this case, it's the whole process. There are not 6 responses to the gospel that will save you. There's only one. We either believe or we do not. And if we believe, we obey the word of God and respond to the gospel, to the word of God, the way God instructs us to in order to be saved. And so that's what I want to look at right now. And I think there's one man who must have acutely understood this, and we read about him in John chapter 3. Because we can understand this by looking at his interaction with Jesus. This man, his name is Nicodemus. He was a leader of the Jewish people. He was a Pharisee of high esteem, and he went to Jesus in secret. And so let's look. Let's see how Nicodemus was confused, like many of us can be when we first start looking at the Word of God, because as we studied it, it can be veiled. So let's read. Let's read John chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, and let's look at the context here. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony, if I told you earthly things and you did not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? I'll pause there. Have you been born again? Have you fulfilled this? Have you been born of the water and the Spirit? Where and when does this happen? Does the Bible tell us? Well, let's keep reading. See, because Nicodemus wasn't ready to hear yet. Jesus' own disciples weren't ready to hear yet. They didn't realize that he was talking about the kingdom of heaven. They thought he was going to bring a physical kingdom to overthrow Rome. They didn't get it. But so what Jesus does is he gives them a context clue. He gives them something to watch for, to know when this was about to be fulfilled. And we find that in 13, well, specifically in 14 to 15, but let's read 13 to 16. No one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, it's referencing Numbers chapter 21. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Excuse me. This is a reference that Nicodemus would understand. As I said before, it's a reference to Numbers 21, where God tested the people, the people's belief, because they've been evil. And he said, okay. And then he had to take some drastic measures. And he set up, I'm going to call it a standard, but it was a big pole that had like some sort of serpent thing on it. You can go back and read about it. We won't have time tonight, unfortunately. But God had serpents, poisonous serpents, go through the camp. And they were biting people. And Moses told him, hey, look, all you got to do is look on this standard. If you're bitten, and you'll be saved. So they had to do something. You know, think about it. You're inside a tent. Something bites you. I got to get up. I got to go outside to where I can see the standard. I got to do something. And if I can't walk, I need to find somebody who loves me enough to carry me to see it. Or I got to crawl on my belly, whatever. But I got to do something. I have to respond. So if they did respond, like he told them, and they went out and looked at it, they were saved. And if not, they died. So Jesus is giving Nicodemus and us some help. We need to pay attention when we see the Son of Man lifted up like that. Something's coming. Belief. John 3:16 is probably one of the most, unfortunately, distorted and taken out of context passages in the New Testament. John 3:1-15 sets the context for John 3:16. Belief in our language is a state of being verb. We do not see belief play out this way in the Bible. In the Bible, we see belief equated with action. Consider James 2:16. Now, why do you delay? Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me, Acts 2:16. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized. Wash away your sins. I apologize. I got a little out of order. What I meant to read there, I'm going to flip to that, is James 2:16, where James writes about the demons believe and tremble. And one of you says to them, oh, my, I lost my place terribly. I apologize, guys. But we'll look that up. In the book of James, he says, look, faith without works is dead. And he says that the demons believe and shudder. You believe, you do well. The demons believe and shudder. But they tremble. They're fearful. Why? Because they know the truth and chose to disobey, so they're fearful. And it's no different for us. Once we know the truth, we have to either choose to respond the way God tells us or we don't. And it, I got to tell you, if I chose not to do what God says, I would shudder. But those of us who choose to obey, we have confidence. We have peace. After the Son of Man was lifted up, as recorded in Scripture, as recorded in history, on the cross, he was buried for 3 days. He rose and presented himself to many. He ascended into heaven, and then he instructed his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for what the Father had promised. And you can read about that in your own time on Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. I want to pick it up in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. So this is after Peter was preaching the first gospel lesson ever. This was the first gospel lesson ever taught being recorded. And he's preaching to the Jews and proselytes who are gathered for this huge event on the day of Pentecost. And they were hearing the word. And what does he tell them? He says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." So if Nicodemus and anybody else was around that he was talking to, he's going, "Wait a minute, we lifted him up on the standard, on the cross. I need to pay attention now." Continuing in verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. And he said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?'" So they believed. And they asked, "What do we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day, there were added about 3,000 souls. Do you think Nicodemus' ears pricked up when he heard this? Do yours. Is God calling you today? Is his word pricking at your heart? This is the only place we see that whole answer to being reborn of water and spirit. It's in this process. This is what you do if you believe the word of God. This is the culmination point where your sins are forgiven and you're added to God's kingdom. Notice, if you go back and read this later, that you see all six things that the Bible associates with salvation that we all read former in this short amount of time. In the context of this passage, they heard the word. They believed the word. He told them the truth. They knew what to do, and they were forced to respond one way or another. And for the ones that were pricked at the heart, they said, "What do we do? Repent and be baptized." And let me tell you, at the same time, they were confessing Christ as well. It's all there. In every conversion account, all the pieces of God's word, when he talks about what we need to do to be saved, come together. And I'm quickly running out of time. I want to share a couple more things. I appreciate your patience. Everyone loves John 3:16, like I said before. You know, we used to see it with the guy with the clown hat at football games with a big sign, John 3:16. You might drive down the street, you see John 3:16, somebody holding it up. You have to understand John 3:1-15 to get it, to fully understand what it means to believe. What it means to believe is to respond the way the gospel, the way that the Lord has revealed to us in his word. We can't take it out of context. They weren't ready to hear the full plan, but once he had done his sacrifice, all was revealed. Baptism is where belief is confirmed. It is where our sins are forgiven, Acts 2:38. It is where we are added to his church, which is the body of Christ, Acts 2:41. It is where we are sealed in Jesus, Ephesians 1:13 and 14. Baptism is an act of obedience on our part, but it's God doing the real work. Consider, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him, the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him, you have been made complete. Forgive me, I'm losing my place. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who is raised from the dead. Shame on me. That is Colossians chapter 2. I caught myself not writing on my notes. Colossians chapter 2, 8 through 12. Colossians chapter 2, 8 through 12. Who does this passage say does the work? It's an act of obedience on our part, but it's God that does the work. when we choose to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sin. It's God alone who can raise us from the dead, who can save us. And that's why he sent his son. And the Bible is very clear. I have to draw it to a close. The Bible is very, very clear about what we need to do. So my question to you today is, have you obeyed the gospel? We've just seen the proper response in God's word. Will you respond today? I'll leave you with one final verse. Like Ananias asked Saul, who would later become the Apostle Paul, in Acts 22, verse 16. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Brother Tommy, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. We appreciate you, Brother Greg. We appreciate you so very much. We certainly wanted our audience to know the last thing you want to do is be lost. You're so right about John 3:16. Many people just take that verse and substitute words. The Bible says in John 3:16, I quote James, King James Version, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him, some say, shall not. That's not what the scripture says. It says, should not. He's put emphasis on that, and you should not perish if you obey. And that's what we wanted you to know, that lost people will be lost because they didn't obey the word of God. Just that simple. That's what he's taught us tonight. He's done a great job of doing that. We appreciate you so very much, Brother Gregory, and appreciate you volunteering your time, and thank God for you and the elders there at that congregation for serving the people of that congregation. We are so thankful that you volunteered to come on our call as well as Brother Franton last night. And if you're ever in Mariposa, ladies and gentlemen, at Six of Height, go there and visit them in California. That's a sound congregation. And if you're on the call tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ and you want to be baptized, you want to be obedient to them, to God's word, and be saved. We don't want you to be lost. Get back with the person who invited you to our call and tell them you want to be among the saved and obey that truth and be added to the only church you read about in the Bible. That is the Church of Christ. We speak the truth in love. We say what we say because that's what the scripture says. We don't do it to be offensive, but we just must stay with what the scripture says. There's only one church in the Bible. That is the Church of Christ. The saved are in the body of Christ, Acts 2:47. So we want you to be saved as well. Now, if your friend or whoever invites you cannot help you get baptized or get further studies, then go ahead and email me at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com, and I will make the arrangements myself or someone working with me. We'll make the arrangements no matter where you are. In our listening audience, we'll get you a Bible class if you need it. We'll get you baptized. We'll find a congregation of the Church of Christ you can visit. We'll help you in every way we can to save your soul. Now, if you want to go back and listen to this message tonight, Brother Gregory's message is recorded, as well as all of our speakers, on our website. It's HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And there you can go to the Nationwide Gospel Meeting tab, and you'll see all of the sermons that we've had from different topics that are related to salvation. Since the month of May, we've been running this gospel meeting. So you got plenty of information if you want to be educated on what you must do to save your soul. Of course, only you can take those steps. We encourage you to do that. So go to our website again, hollandheightscoc.net. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this night. Thank you for loving us, Father, for giving your only Son. We should not perish after all you've done. Gave you your only Son. He gave his life and died that shameful and painful death on the cross to save us, the sinners. And Lord, we know the wages of sin, and we don't want spiritual death. So we pray for our listening audience, those tonight who are listening, not members of your Son's church, that have not been baptized, or perhaps baptized, but not a member of the one true church. They can receive your word tonight with meekness, as was preached by Brother Gregory. And we thank you for our preachers and elders who volunteered their time to come on our call and share your good news with the lost and dying world. And we pray for our continued support of all those who are on our call. We thank you for each and every person. We especially thank you for our visitors. We pray you will bless them in a special way. Bless our efforts, Father, for we love you. And we try to carry out the great commission as given by your Son. And we go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature. And we pray for those who believe they will be baptized. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We've had a great week. Monday through Thursday has been a good week this week. It's been a good week. Those and preachers coming on, preaching that truth. And we're not finished. We got one more night. But LaBelle Haynes, East Jackson Church of Christ, Jackson, Tennessee, will be our preacher. He'll be coming on tomorrow night. You don't want to miss him. Come on tomorrow night. You'll be able to hear him speak, and his elder will come on Monday night. And we will close this week out with a big bang, closing it out. Elders and preachers across the nation, bringing the word of God to those who will listen. We thank you all for joining us. Be on tomorrow night. We'll start again. Call in about 8:45. We'll start making an announcement. We'll kick off our speaker at 9 o'clock, 9 to 9:30. Thank you for allowing us to come to your home. Thank those who are members of the church who support us, who have been edified and encouraged through this word. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for your financial support. If you so choose to support us, just go to our website. It's online giving, and you can give it to the Nationwide Gospel Meeting. This is a good outreach to support. Consider that for our elders and preachers. Consider an evangelistic tool that we're providing to you. We pray you'll consider us. We love everyone. Thank you so very much for joining us. Have a good night.